Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Old Hockey Podcast. My name is Sean, alongside David Galley. We're here. This is episode 17. Galley, we had a good week of All-Star festivities, good weekend of All-Star festivities. A lot of funny stuff, I feel like, that happened over this week. I feel like the NHL, we'll get into it, but I feel like they did pretty well with the All-Star game this year, opposed to the past and how they've been doing. But before we get into that stuff, Galley, how was your weekend? What'd you do? Where were you watching the game? All that fun stuff.
I watched most of the All-Star festivities just from my house. I was a little bit bummed. I thought the draft did really well. I thought they did that really well. It was kind of weird that it was on the ice. There's some cringe moments for sure, but skills competition, I was just really bummed because my winner was Jack Hughes and he didn't even participate in the skills competition or the actual All-Star game. So shout out Jack Hughes for not doing that. It made me look stupid, but I thought the game itself was like probably the best 3-on-3 All-Star game I've watched.
I
just watched it all from my house. Didn't do too much on Friday and Saturday. Went out on Saturday night. It's pretty feeling not so well on Sunday, but had a hockey game at 1:30 p.m. to shake off that hangover. So it was the typical Sunday afternoon game. But didn't do too much about it. Just it's Monday now. I just lost some money on the Leafs money line because they always seem to lose when I bet on them. So starting off the week strong with NHL. But how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. I watched I didn't get to watch the draft. I was at work that night. So I didn't really get to watch it. I obviously saw a lot of the clips and stuff. Friday night, watched the skills comp. Thought that was fun. Saturday was a pretty chill day. I didn't really do anything this weekend, a whole lot of nothing. It was a pretty chill weekend, I will say. It's the first weekend like in the house where I feel like I was kind of, you know, moved in. So
yeah,
I just kind of took it easy. I thought it was a good weekend, good All-Star break. A lot of fun news for us to talk about, which I'm excited about. So let's get into that. First thing, your Calgary Flames. Why don't you go ahead and start this off with this blockbuster trade that just happened?
Yeah. So Calgary Flames are in a, I know I've been talking about this, my little mini segment of the Calgary Flames every podcast, but they're in a tough situation right now, both cap space and just aging players. They have a lot of players too that are contracted into their mid-30s, if Lindholm were to sign an extension, he probably would have been extended pretty long-term. No, he wanted to stay with the Flames, but everyone already knows because it happened about, 5 days ago. But Elias Lindholm got traded to the Vancouver Canucks for Andre Kuzmenko, first rounder, conditional fourth rounder. Hunter Brusewicz, I don't know, I'm totally butchering that name. I think everyone is. He's a stud, though. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And Johnny Germeau, who's a Finnish defenseman. So just starting off, I'm going to say the Calgary Flames absolutely won this trade. Swept house. I can't believe, one, they got Kuzmenko out of this trade, who's pretty young. He's coming off of a 40-plus goal season last year. Struggling a little bit, but he's under a new head coach this year. So that has a big factor, I think, for his success. And, some players don't play well under certain coaching styles, and hopefully that's the case here. Hopefully this isn't another Jonathan Huberto situation where he starts just epically failing when he gets to the Flames, but that'd be classic Flames. But the fact that they got a first round pick, they got a defenseman that some people are labeling the next Adam Fox, which is fucking crazy. Let alone he's playing in the OHL. So he's not going to college. He's going to be in pros probably next year. He's going to be, vouching for a spot, an NHL roster spot next year. I wouldn't be surprised. Who knows? I mean, we can see if his play does transition to the NHL, but he's stellar in the OHL. He's point per game player. Let alone they got a first round pick of this draft, upcoming draft. This is a really strong draft, I believe, and deep prospect pool. And I think that's going to really benefit the Flames in the future as well. And then Johnny Germeau, who's, I think he's kind of not spoken about as much in the trade deal, but you know, that's just adding another defenseman. He's playing in the top Finnish league right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. It could benefit the Flames extremely, though, because Lindholm doesn't have, there's nothing, it wasn't a sign and trade deal. I mean, Lindholm doesn't have to sign back with the Canucks. I do know the Canucks are going to be really trying for the Stanley Cup after that trade. They're definitely a contender, probably the contender in the West right now. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the Canucks do in the playoffs, because I mean, they don't have the best track record in the playoffs in the past since like they went to the Stanley Cup final back in 2011. So Burn it's going to be interesting down. How, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. And it's going, we're not going to be able to see till this summer. Cause I mean, shit, think if the Canucks don't do too well in the playoffs and Lindholm could walk somewhere else, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. What's your take on the trade though?
I mean, I think for both sides, I mean, I don't think it was even at all. I think the Flames definitely got a lot of, you know, future stuff that is going to help them out a lot. I think for the Canucks, though, I think it was a smart move for the year, that short-term rental. Hopefully they can keep him, though. I mean, if they're able to win a cup this year, then I'd say it was good on both sides. But if, I mean, if they don't win a cup and he walks, they're messing up their future. And I think, I feel like right now, like we said in the beginning of the year, this is their time to prove it and win. And they have been doing that recently. They've been doing well. But they need to maintain that. And hopefully, or not, I don't know. I just think that if it doesn't turn out for them in the playoffs the way they want it to, it's going to be considered a loss, and a pretty big loss to give up that many first rounder picks, or how many picks they gave up and future prospects that they gave up to. I think it's tough. So we'll see if it pays off. I think the Flames are in a pretty good situation where, you know, like you said, you don't want to sign, you don't want to keep someone around who's not going to sign with you in the summertime. You may as well get them while their stock is high versus, I don't know, getting rid of them later or just letting them walk in free agency, which would be worst case scenario. So it's like they did a good job on that. It just comes down to Vancouver. If they can finish, then it'll all pan out for them.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things I see is Vancouver's capped out right now. They have no cap space at all. So I don't know if they're going to be making too much more moves. One thing that came to mind when I'm looking at their roster and their cap space here on capfriendly.com, Elias Lindholm and Elias Pettersson, they both expire at the end of the season. There was some talk about Elias Pettersson getting traded at the beginning of the season and last offseason. So that could potentially be something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Pettersson could walk, not saying he's going to. He's an RFA, so they have, you know, exclusive rights to him. But if he does end up walking this summer, Lindholm probably would fill his spot, which isn't that bad of a replacement, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that could be what Canucks management's doing. I think there's probably going to be a lot of behind-the-scenes talks between the Pettersson's agent and Canucks management. And probably nothing the public will know until something does happen. But, I mean, just scenario, if the Canucks get out first, second round, Pettersson walks, they have Lindholm to sign. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I'm really happy as a Flames fan. I think the Flames should keep doing this. I think they should trade Hanifin. I think they should trade Tanev. I mean, they should clean house of everyone. I mean, they're in a tough spot right now. I mean, the only thing that I don't know if they should do is Jacob Markstrom. I think Jacob Markstrom could get a huge haul right now. They got Dustin Wolf in the pipeline too, and Vladar. I think those are two good goalies. They're not yet NHL starter caliber, either of them, but Jacob Markstrom could get such a big haul. Chris Tanev, such a big haul. Hanifin. I mean, I think the Calgary Flames are probably the biggest team to keep an eye on in terms of before the trade deadline, because they're going to be very active, especially in terms of this past trade. I mean, Elias Lindholm was one of their best players in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
For the Calgary Flames. I mean, Lindholm, Gaudreau, Tkachuk, they had such a good line for multiple years. Gosh, I really miss having those three players, but it's heartbreaking to see those players leave. I mean, it was heartbreaking to see Lindholm leave, but to see what we got back, I'm like, let's go. and Kuzmenko. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, no, I think you guys are in a good spot. But yeah, I think, like you said, last thing I'll say is I think they just got to keep cleaning that house and getting rid of some of those assets that they just don't really are going to need them long term. I feel like that they're kind of bridging this, towing this line of like rebuilding versus just mid, like we said earlier.
Yeah.
We just need to commit to the rebuild and just kind of not completely clean house, but yeah, essentially get rid of a lot of the fluff that they have right now and start that rebuilding process. Cause the worst thing that could happen is that you just keep delaying it and you're like, well, maybe we can push this year or this next year. And then you're like the Sharks did.
Yeah.
You're just postponing the time that you're going to need to rebuild that team. So
what would that around. You, yeah. What would you, I guess we can just do this real quickly. What would you give the Canucks a grade for that trade? And what would you give the Flames a grade for that trade?
The Flames, I'd give them like an A+ for that trade. Canucks, it's hard because if it doesn't play out, it's an F. If they win a Stanley Cup, it's an A. But I'd say like time being for what they have, I'm going to give them like a B-.
Sure. Yeah, I'd say for the Flames, I'm going to go with an A, solid.
Yeah.
And then for the Canucks, I'm going to go, I'll go a little bit lower. I go C. just for right now. Because that is they gave up so much. I mean, at first, Kuzmenko, one of their best D prospects for, you know, just a rental for this season potentially. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to play that out. But yeah, let's get into the next topic. I'm stoked for this next one.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk about All-Star. Oh, wait, no, we're not. Sorry. We're going to be talking about the Olympics because guess what? We got some news. I think it was right before the All-Star game that Gary Bettman, head of the commissioner of the NHL, talked with the Olympic Committee, IHF, all that fun stuff. And they have officially announced that at the next Winter Olympics, which is 2026, they're going to be allowing NHL players to compete, which, I mean, we talked about this, I think, in our wish list for the NHL, I want to say. So, got that.
Thank you, Gary Bettman, for granting our wish.
Yeah, Santa Bettman came through a little bit late. Could have been on Christmas Day, but we'll take it.
Pat ourselves on the back. We got that wish.
He probably heard us.
Coming to us. Yeah, totally, dude. Bettman's probably like, listening.
What are these guys talking about on their hockey podcast? And like, oh, they want NHL players in the Olympics. So we're going to listen to them. So we're going to take credit for that because I think that we had a helping hand in getting those NHL players into the Olympics. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, we'll see what those teams shape out to be in those next 2 years. I feel like, I mean, we're going to have, I mean, it's only 2 years from now, but I'm like, I mean, I'd feel like Bedard would be playing on that team at that point. I don't know that Sidney Crosby would be playing.
I know. That's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting to see because, I mean, shit, that's going to be Crosby's. He got snubbed in the 2006 Olympics, but that's going to be Crosby's third Olympics, which is pretty legendary. I'll say one thing. Like, this is what?
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead. Like, about Crosby, like, I don't know. How old is he now? 36, 37?
He's born in 87. So,
oh, God.
It's 37, about. I think he turns 37 this year because I actually share the same birthday as Sidney Crosby. I'm stoked about that. I have a crazy birthday. It's 8/7/99 is like my birth date. Yeah, so dude, I got Sidney Crosby on one end and then Gretzky on the other.
No.
Once I figure that out, I'm like, I gotta play hockey, dude. Fuck all the other sports.
Is that why he's number 87? Because of his birthday?
It is, because he's August 7th, 1987. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a fun fact.
And then Gretzky's was because his favorite player was Gordie Howe, and he didn't want to be number 9, so he put another 9 after it.
yeah. And history was made. But we'll see if Sid does that and if he plays. I just feel like at that time, he's going to be, what, 39, almost 40?
Yeah. So, I mean, dude, he's having a pretty good season right now. I think he's 100% going to play, especially for the legacy. And Sidney Crosby, I think he might be to this date, even, I don't think McDavid, I think McDavid could get there, but Sidney Crosby is the smartest IQ hockey player. I mean, defensively, offensively, I mean, It's crazy when they mic him up, he's like coaching everyone. And he's been doing that since like he was a fucking in his teens. It's like, dude, this guy is like a coach and a player, like, but he's put in captain form. So it's pretty impressive. But yeah, I think Crosby will make it. But I think the Olympics coming back, one, like, shout out Gary Bettman for doing this. I know fans have been begging for this to happen for the past two Olympics. And I'm so happy because, I mean, some of my favorite memories were growing up, we're watching hockey in the Olympics and seeing Team Canada versus Team USA or Team Russia versus Team Canada or Team USA versus Team Russia. So, you know, I'm really excited for those rivalries. I think it's really cool that the NHL is also doing a Four Nations tournament in 2025 next year. So that's going to be pretty cool. That's going to be replacing, I believe, the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be awesome. However, the only bone I have to pick with that, they left out Czechia, which is disrespect.
Wait, David Cross. What are the four teams then?
So it's USA, Canada, Finland, and Sweden, which is historically not accurate. Obviously, Russia, they're leaving them out for everyone knows why. But I still don't think they should do that just because Canada versus Russia is like such a long-term storied rivalry in international hockey. Like, I think they really snubbed Russia in that, but also Czechia. I mean, Czechia has David Pastrnak. They have great NHL players year in, year out. So I think leaving them out is super tough. But, you know, regardless, I think Olympics coming back or NHL players being in the Olympics is going to be so cool for the next Olympics. Next Olympics in Italy, which hockey's not that big there, and France.
Yeah.
So that's going to be opportunities for those countries to see NHL players in action. So it's going to be really cool.
No, that'll be cool. Yeah, I'm excited for that. I think this might cause some angerance or this might cause some frustration with our neighbors from the Great White North. But honestly, I think that Team USA is going to whoop Canada's ass. If we look at this 2 years in the future, I truly think that. I mean, we've got goaltending. We've got them beat. Let's just pull up a mock roster right now.
Yeah, I'd say that comes down pretty even to their forwards and deep, but then Team USA has the obvious advantage for goaltending. I would even go as far as saying they have that for defense too. I wouldn't say it's too obvious, but I mean, it's hard to say because you got McDavid, McKinnon, Bedard potentially, and Crosby in the top six. I mean, if Crosby makes it, that's fucking terrifying, man. Like, I know you got Tkachuk, you got Matt. You got the Tkachuks.
Hey,
you got Matthews. You got Hughes.
I have two rosters pulled up. This is a projection, right? So this isn't final. But Team Canada, first line, Braden Point, Connor McDavid, Mitch Marner. Then Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, Connor Bedard, Jared McCann, Steven Stamkos, Carter Verhaeghe, Dylan Cousins, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, Mark Stone, and then some subs, Zach Hyman, Robert Thomas, Josh Morrissey, Cale Makar on D, Thomas Chabot, Jacob Chychrun on D, Shea Theodore, Dougie Hamilton on D, Darnell Nurse, and Evan Bouchard on D. That's for Canada. The U.S., we got Matthew Tkachuk, Austin Matthews, and Brady all on a first line together. Jason Robertson, Jack Hughes, Jack Eichel, second line. Third line, Kyle Connor, Dylan Larkin, Tage Thompson. Fourth line, Johnny Gaudreau, Matty Beniers, Clayton Keller. Already in the forwards, I'm sorry, but the depth on Canada's team is not as good as the U.S. Let's go to D. Quinn Hughes, Charlie McAvoy starting first two. Zach Werenski, Adam Fox, Jacob Slavin, Brett Pesce, Jake Sanderson, and Luke Hughes. So D may be a little bit even, but those forwards, like, I'm sorry, you can't say that that third line for Team Canada with Dylan Cousins, Nugent Hopkins, and Mark Stone is going to be competing at all with Kyle Connor, Dylan Larkin, and Tage Thompson.
Yes. Yes. I can kind of agree to that. But I think you're leaving off that Stamkos is elite. Stamkos is elite. He's elite. And I'll say, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of agree with you that Team USA has more depth. However, the top six for Team Canada is lethal, man. You got Braden Point, Connor McDavid, Mitch Marner, Connor Bedard, McKinnon, and Crosby. Like, that is, that. That blows the top six for Team USA out of the water. I mean, in terms of experience.
Seriously. You give it 2 years. Stammer is going to be old as shit. McDavid, McKinnon, they're going to be obviously in their primes as they already are. And I feel like the top 2-6, we got fucking Jack Hughes, Robo, who's going to be a little bit older and more experienced. Auston Matthews, who's going to be fucking scoring 100 goals in a season or some shit. The Tkachuk brothers, who are going to be older and more experienced. Like, I just feel like this Team USA team, let's go into goalies, because goalies, I feel like it's a clear winner there for us. We got Connor Hellebuyck and Spencer Knight. Spencer Knight, give him a couple years. Fucking Canada, their starting goaltender is Aiden Hill. Now, I know over the playoffs, Hill stood on his head, but I'm sorry. That was just a lucky run. And you need that. To win a Stanley Cup, you need a goaltender to be on a hot streak. And that's what the Knights had. But I don't think he's going to be in the level of play to be the number one goalie.
I know. They're going to need another Luongo or fucking Carey Price. I mean, those were their goalies when they won back-to-back gold medals. And it's going to be that's going to come down to the goaltending, because I think both their offense and defense are, you know, you could toss it up. One is better. Yeah. Maybe the other is better. But right now, for what the projections show, I think it's a close game, but I think Team USA would come out on top.
Yeah.
However, I mean, it's just hard to count out McKinnon, Crosby, Braden Point, and McDavid. Like, between McDavid, Crosby, and McKinnon, that is like a plethora of NHL awards, from Art Ross to Maurice Richard.
But Crosby's going to be old. He's going to be old in 2 years. Dude,
I think Crosby might break Jagr's games played record. Like, Crosby's fucking ridiculous. He's not aging. And he hasn't shown any signs of aging. He hasn't shown any signs of injury. He knows how to play in an NHL game smartly.
He's going to be a great leader. I will say that. Yeah. He has to be captain. He better be captain. He was the one that won them the gold medal against us last to 2012?
2020,
So, I don't know. I think my red-blooded American self is really, really probably a little bit biased about this Team USA roster. But like I said, depth matters. And especially with those kind of tournaments where, you could have a rock star top six, but I don't think that Jack Hughes in a couple of years is going to be far off from Mitch Marner or Braden Point. Like, I truly don't think that. I mean, those guys are going to get more experience. Like, Jack Hughes, we forget, is a year younger than you and I. He's 23 right now. 2 years, 25,
Buck,
26.
Dude.
Yeah. He's born in 2001. So he's still very young. Bedard's going to be, 20 years old playing the Olympics, which is going to be crazy. And he's going to be a star. Time will tell. We'll see how it pans out. But for right now, what it's looking like, and if Dustin Wolf on the Flames kind of breaks out over the next 2 years, he could be another goaltender on that Team USA team.
That's a dark horse pick right there. I don't think that's anyone's mocks, but no. Totally.
I mean, he'll be 26.
I think saying Johnny Gaudreau is a stretch. I think if you said that 2 years ago, he's automatic top nine player on Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm really excited for too is, like, these two teams got to play each other. I'm going to be so mad if they don't. It's going to be a ruckus, dude. I mean, the Tkachuk brothers on one line is going to be, it's going to be fun to watch. So I'm beyond pumped for the 2026 Olympics. Yeah. Like, I can't wait. Fucking wait.
I thought of one more thing, because looking at this bottom six that they have, these are rock stars in the making. I mean, Cole Caulfield was a name I forgot to mention. Cole Caulfield's going to be legit in 2 years. Matty Beniers, he won Rookie of the Year last year. Clayton Keller, like, he's lighting it up for the Arizona Coyotes. They don't really have much right now, but he's at least, he was an all-star. He seemed great in the all-star game. Tage Thompson, another dude who's going to, he almost got 100. I think he had he didn't break 100 last year, did he? He's had a rough year this year, but this bottom depth of the Team USA, We've got Will Smith for the Sharks. Who knows? He could be a fourth line center as an American. But like I said, time will tell. We'll find out. But I'm going to go with the Americans on that. And
yeah,
if it right now,
I'm going to say Americans too. But yeah. I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
No. I don't think so. But I think the Americans are going to just shock Canadians in general. I mean, we had a, like, for, what was that, 2012 that we played them when Crosby, or was that 2008, the golden goal?
2010 in Vancouver.
2010. Okay. Yeah, that's right. 2010, like, the fact that USA was in the gold medal game to compete against Canada already says a lot where USA hockey has come, and I think it's only going to get better. So we'll see. I mean, obviously, hockey is Canada's sport, but I don't know, man. I have a feeling about these Americans and what we can do to these pesky little Canadians, those little fucks.
Yeah, but I don't think we've won a Olympic gold medal since 2002, I want to say. So it's been, I could be wrong about that. I don't think it's 1980. I think it's 2002.
We won in Sochi. I think they did win in 2000. That was with, like, Jeremy Roenick, or was that the 98 Olympics?
I think it was 2002. Let me just see. Let me just back.
Did we do a story on them?
Yeah, kind of. But no, that was on 1996 or 1998, okay. Pardon me. No, Canada won. Yeah, so the U.S. has not won since 1980, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, see, that's solid 44 years as of today. That's fucking crazy, man. The U.S. team's got to pull this one off. At least one of the next two Olympics, or else, fuck, man. We can't go for 50 years. That would be ridiculous.
No, that would be crazy. Yeah, we got to get some. Damn, it's been that long. Holy shit. And even those kids weren't even NHL players, so it's hard to, like, we haven't really won with NHL players, so. All right, well, we haven't even gotten to the Olympics or the All-Star game yet, so let's jump into that. We spent a good amount of time. I'm excited about the Olympics. We'll see. As more stuff breaks, we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll see within the next year or so that we can see a roster being put together so they can start practicing and stuff. But All-Star weekend. First up, we'll talk about the draft. Like I said, I didn't really get to watch it a whole lot. What I did see, though, on the internet, there were some cringe moments, and it just kind of, like, awkward and uncomfortable, and I feel like that's just the nature of hockey players. There's not very many charismatic hockey players besides, like, PK Subban. Maybe Pasta. David Pastrnak's pretty
Trevor charismatic.
Zegras, yeah. Yeah, a lot of the younger guys, like, I feel like Cole Caulfield. But, I mean, the superstars, like McDavid, awkward as shit. Bedard, awkward as shit. Jack Hughes, awkward as shit. Even though,
dude, even Matthews is a little awkward too.
Yeah, and I think it's just they're probably trained too with media, and I don't know. But there was definitely some awkward moments, but I feel like they did a good job. Still, kind of really upset that they, like, some of those players, just like Tomas Hertl being there. I love the guy, great Sharks fan. I love him as a player. I just don't know that he needs to be at the All-Star game. But what were your thoughts on the draft?
So I really like the format that they did. Obviously, celebrities. I thought it was really cool how they just did a draft in general. I mean, they haven't done that since 2015, 2012 or something like that. So it's been a while since they did that. So I think that is really cool concept, and I'm glad they carried out with it. I think there could have been better execution. I thought it was kind of... I mean, I know a lot. They packed that house for the draft because it's in Toronto.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I wish they would have done, like, a stage style, because in the past they've done a stage style and it was like players walked up, but instead, like, all these players just, like, had their skates on and shit. And we were like, it was just kind of strange to me. And like the Madonna mics too. I wish it was more like set up like an actual draft, like the NHL drafts, NFL draft, NBA draft. No one is, like, on a court or an ice rink, you know, like, they're all dressed up nice. I feel like that kind of pushes the players to be show their personality a little bit more. So I wish they did that. I still thought it was cool. I thought it was fucking crazy how some people are under the influence.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So those of you that don't know, I don't know how you didn't see this, but Michael Bublé said in some post-game interview, he was like, yeah, the friend told me that this was a microdose, but it is not a microdose. And Will Arnett, the other celebrity team captain, just like looked at him like, dude, like, what are you saying right now? And yeah, under the influence of mushrooms is pretty wild to do, especially if you know you're going on a public stage like that. Like, shit, I mean, teach his own, I guess, but
hey, he's got nothing to lose though. It's Michael Bublé.
That's true.
Or Bublé, yeah, whatever the whatever, fuck you say.
Yeah. He could honestly, I mean, that man puts out Christmas music like it's nothing. And he, you know, he's a pretty popular guy. So it's not like that could really damage anything. If anything, I thought it was funny. I mean, if people
are
offended by it and they're like, oh my God, like, why would you say that? Blah, blah, blah. Why are you a mushrooms? It's like, fuck off. Really? Like, I thought it was funny. Him being on like on the influence like that. And in an interview too, to say that, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, I hope they keep doing this style draft with celebrities. And I think next year, I hope they do it off of skates. I just felt like it was just weird how they were doing that. Players were skating out to their team.
Yeah.
You just get better reactions when they're stuck in a room together. Not even a room. Like, they could have done it at the rink, but they could have maybe blocked off.
Made a stage or something.
A quarter. Something. Yeah. Something along those lines. Just because I was like, what is this, the skills competition or actual game when they had skates on? When I put it on, I was like, what's going on here? But I think that's crazy about Michael Bublé. Pretty legendary, though. I think that will go down in all-star history, probably for all sports.
I had people that don't even watch hockey text me about it, and they're like, oh, are you going to talk about that on the pod? And I was like, 100% we will. it was crazy. But yeah, moving on from the draft, we're going to talk about the skill comp. So this year, like we talked about last podcast, they did it a little bit different than last year. I thought they did better than they have in the past with the skills comp. It's always fun to watch. I felt like the passing challenge was a little boring when I was watching it. And I had some friends that they were like, I could do that. And I was like watching some of the players, how they were missing. They were saying that they could do it. And I was like, sorry, no, you can't. Like, one, they're probably nervous because they're on a big stage like that and trying to compete against each other and fellow, you know, all-stars. They're also in front of a bunch of fans. And you had players like Kucherov just not giving any effort at all.
I love that.
I think it was funny. And he played into it with the crowd. The crowd was booing him, which I also loved. I thought that was funny because they're like, you know what? Like, damn it, we paid a ticket here and you're going to literally just do nothing. You're the points leader in the NHL and you're just going to fart around during this passing challenge. Like, what?
Such a Kucherov move.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And then he got, what was it, the day after during the All-Star game? I think he had a shootout or something. And the entire stadium was just booing him during the shootout.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was good than last year. I thought the prize money that McDavid had come up with was really smart. Gives him an extra, you know, thing to go after. Obviously, he won the skills comp and took his own. He pretty much paid himself.
I know.
Looking at it like that. But I mean, I could tell immediately, like, you can tell some of the other players are there to have fun. McDavid was there to win. And you could tell.
I know. Totally. Totally.
Which I love. And I mean, that's how it should be. It's a competition. And you know, he's a competitive guy. So
he is so competitive. It's crazy to see McDavid, because most of the players are kind of like fucked around. This is not a game. This doesn't mean anything. McDavid's like serious. And I'm like, damn, this is pretty sick. Like, you don't see that in a lot of other like all-star competitions in sports. The best player is like Mr. Serious, but holy shit, that just shows his competitiveness and his drive in the sport of hockey. And it's pretty cool, but there were some pretty funny, skills, runs, whatever you call it, from each player. I mean, I thought Kucherov's was hilarious. I thought Dreisaitl's was very...
Dude, that one...
what the fuck, dude?
He couldn't hit a single shot, and I don't know what that was. Like, I don't know. I feel like I could have done better than that, at least.
And then what was... In the last competition, there was someone that had to get more pucks because they were like totally butchering that sauce challenge. Who was that? Did you see that?
Oh, was it Matt Barzal?
Yeah, it was definitely Barzal.
Yeah.
That was like embarrassing. That was, yeah. I had secondhand embarrassment to watch that.
I did too.
Hey, I mean, that's, I probably like, wouldn't do any better.
Yeah. No, the sauce challenge, that'd be so tough, especially when you're timed and like you have so much, like I say that I could do the shooting challenge, but if I really think about it and I'm out there with NHL All-Stars trying to, if I was by myself in a garage, I could probably get it in, I don't know, 8 pucks at the least.
Bold.
Yeah, I mean, hitting all four corners in the net. You can't hit four corners in the net?
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'd say 8 pucks for myself. I'm dust,
come on,
man.
8 pucks? 2 try? Well, we'll say 10.
Yeah, I think 10 would be wise for myself.
In a garage by yourself,
your own setup. We should maybe do that. We should maybe. Yeah, I think that would be good.
I got a net. We just need to get, they sell those little foam. I used to have them as a kid. They had like little foam things you could connect to the posts. We should totally do that. I'm so down.
Yeah, I'm super down.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought the skills comp, it was a lot of fun to watch, especially towards the end too, when it was like that final competition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, McDavid won, what, 3 out of the 4 competitions he was competing in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew he was going to win, and getting that mill, it would have been nice to see him donate it to charity or something, because he's the highest paid player in the league.
Yeah. Well, second now.
Yeah, yeah, second, one of the highest paid players. Yeah, it would have been kind of cool if he did something or maybe gave it to his players back in Edmonton or something. I mean, I don't know. I saw a bunch of people complain about that. Good for him that he won.
Yeah, but you don't know what he did with that money. Like, he didn't say it publicly, but I don't know. He could be donating it, and he's not like loud and proud about it like some people.
That is true.
Some people are. We don't know, you know. But yeah, I enjoyed myself that night. It was fun to watch. It was a good length too. It was 3 hours, about the regular length of a hockey game. So it was fun to watch. Enjoyed a lot, but the game the next day, I thought was even more fun. I thought, I've definitely noticed a lot more competition than before, just in terms of like players actually trying. And I think they did another $1 million prize for the winning team. I thought that was really smart by the NHL doing that too. It just, you got to give them something other than it just being fun. Cause it can be fun for the players, and obviously want to give them, you know, it's a break for them to have fun and let loose, kind of play loose, but it's also for the fans. Like, it's not just for the players, it's for the fans and the players. So give both sides kind of what they want, give the players some money, they'll give some competition in return. And I thought we saw some good games. I mean, McDavid's team coming back from what, down 2 goals, empty net, and he then.
Yeah. I think that was within 2 minutes of that first game. That was pretty crazy. I also thought they weren't very high scoring games, and like usually all star games are fucking high scoring.
Yeah.
Even especially the 3v3. I mean, the over unders were like 10.5, 11.5, which was like, I was like, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
But it just showed like how much harder these players played defensively. Specifically defensively. I don't think anyone was blocking too many shots, but just like defensive play and defensive positioning, I think was by far the best and I've ever seen in an all-star game. And and goaltending. Like everyone was trying real hard, and I thought that was something worth watching. It was fun to watch. It wasn't just like, oh, these players are just fucking around with fucking John Scott's out there or something.
Yeah.
But no, it was a kick ass time, and I thought that the final was like competitive. I was like, damn, who's gonna win this? I'm stoked. I put money on Team Poppy, Team Matthews.
Oh, nice. Smart.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
So
for them to win, I mean, it was cool to see, you know, their hometown team. They had the home crowd on their back with all the Leaf players. One thing I was a little disappointed in was the MVP. Now, I know obviously Matthews was a star just in general. He's a team captain. But in those 2 games that he played, he had 2 goals and 2 assists, which 4 points, pretty good. But Alex DeBrincat, on the same team as him, winning team, had 2 games played, 3 goals, 3 assists, and they gave it to Matthews still. It's like, come on. I get that you're, you know, playing towards the home crowd, but that's not what the All-Star MVP should be doing, is just like give it to the hometown guy who...
I totally agree.
Yeah, like DeBrincat had two more points than him, which, I mean, isn't a crazy amount. But at that point, I saw a graphic from the NHL, and they were just riding the meat of McDavid and Matthews so hard. They literally put Matthews as the first star with 4 points. McDavid as a second star with 1 goal and 3 assists. And DeBrincat at third star. He's got 6 points, 3 goals, 3 assists. Like, how do you do that? And it's just bias, you know. But
yeah, that's some BS. DeBrincat got fucking robbed with that. I think it's totally, to be fair, it's from the NHL's perspective, it's a PR thing to give Matthews the MVP. But damn, I haven't heard a lot of people bringing that up. I think that's a good point. DeBrincat totally got snubbed. Yeah, that's
snubbed
that's
once
brutal
with the MVP, and then NHL putting out the top three stars, putting him at third is foul. They put him second. I've been like, whatever, but putting him third after McDavid, who only scored 3 points to his 6, messed up, I think. That's definitely a PR move. I understand it. But at the same time, it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw a lot of some good plays. Nice goal from, I think McKinnon's goal is my favorite from that pass from Sidney Crosby, like the two-line pass. And then the fucking roof that he had, he backhand roofed it far down. It was pretty sick. There's something else. Oh, this picture here. So I don't know if you've seen this photo circling around yet, but Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby. There was a photo of both Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid together at the All-Star game. This was actually last year's All-Star game. I hadn't seen this photo, though. It was both of them wearing those, like, throwback, you know, the All-Star, what's it called? It was the All-Star jerseys that they played in 1994 at the Shark Tank when they had those star ones. It was the same ones, right? They also compared a picture with Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky with those same style jerseys on, and it was kind of cool to see, you know, Wayne Gretzky, who at that time was towards the end of his career, Oilers legend, next to Pittsburgh legend and younger kid Mario Lemieux at that point, at that time. And then fast forward, what, 20, almost 30 years, and you've got Crosby, who's the legend, old guy on the Penguins, and then
who did play with Lemieux too for one season, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah. And then you've also got Connor McDavid, who is now Oilers legend already. He's going to be always go down as an infamous Oiler. So I thought it was cool to see.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, it was a cool photo. I'll try to find it and send it to you. But yeah, it was cool to see that. But any other last thoughts about the All-Star game that you saw or thought of? Anything cool?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it was the best one I've watched since maybe the first 3-on-3 one. That I think they did that in 2018 when they had John Scott. Yeah. I think the NHL did a solid job. I think they could have done the draft a little bit better, but yeah, great job to Toronto. Yeah. And I thought it was really cool. Hopefully one day I can check that out. Maybe we can check that out sometime in the future. That'd be super kick ass.
That's fucking dream of that, manifest that shit.
Manifest it.
Yeah,
but the one
now,
thing
we'll be there.
Yeah, the one thing that stuck out to me, which I saw a TikTok of it today. Justin fucking Bieber getting, and this is from TikTok sources, okay? Saying that he got approached because of his play in warmups and got offered a tryout from multiple teams, and some teams were even going as far as offering him a contract, which I think is complete clickbait. The person that did it, it's got to be clickbait. I know he has a hockey history somewhat.
He does.
But I mean, shit, I saw a photo of Austin Matthews and Biebs together, and it was like, it looked like a child and a man. I was like, oh my goodness. And they're basically the same age.
Yeah.
So I think it would be really, really cool if maybe Bieber played a shift or something. Yeah. I think that would be really, that would be crazy. It'd be, cool. It'd be a lot of popularity towards hockey, I think. But I think it also would be kind of bad. I think a lot of NHL players and hockey players would kind of feel like it's disrespectful that some celebrity can just hop on the NHL ice.
Get a contract. That, where there's one guy. Yeah. In the minor
that people have been
get a contract. Yeah.
100% that people have been trying to do their whole life. And I think that would be kind of disrespectful if it did end up happening. There'd be kind of a two-edged sword to it. But I mean, shit, think about a team like the Ducks or like the Panthers that don't have the biggest following in their markets. And dude, if they signed Bieber, like for example, if the Ducks signed Bieber, the Ducks are selling out every single game.
Oh yeah.
Like
oh,
for the rest of this year, because Bieber's going to be. Bieber's going to be in the crowd. He might not play, but he's going to be there and everyone's going to know it. So I think it could be a smart PR stunt, but I mean,
it could be
I don't see it really happening. Though.
Yeah. There's no, I mean, I've seen him play. He looks a lot like me and I'm not very good. So I don't know. I saw that TikTok too. And I think it's complete bullshit. And the guy was just trying to get us and it worked. Cause I watched the whole video, but, I think it'd be funny if he did something like that. And I thought with the All-Star game, I thought they did a lot of, there was a lot of PR that came out of it. And I think it's good for the NHL. I saw like just even people posting about Justin Bieber just warming up with the All-Stars, which I thought that was awesome. I think that's cool as a celebrity captain, you know? And again, it's people are posting about it, talking about it that are non-hockey fans because it's Justin fucking Bieber. And they're going to it. And then they're like, oh, no way. Like Justin Bieber played in the All-Star game. Like what did this all like, you know, it's good PR. And I thought that they did. I did see though that back in 2012, Justin Bieber had a contract offered to him from the AHL or the ECHL at the time, the Bakersfield Condors. They offered him a pretty small deal, but the coach had said, "Very rarely do you see a combination of skill and toughness. We share a common Canadian heritage since we both hail from Ontario. I've scouted some video of him online skating with my hometown team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I think he could provide some elusive speed up front for us. Plus, he's a right-handed shot, which we've been looking to add. I think if we paired him on a line with Robbie D and Peter Boyd, we'd be tough to beat." Now,
that's wild.
I feel like that was a PR stunt and a half from the ECHL, which, you know, props to them. I think that's honestly really funny and kind of like, I don't know, I think that's funny to add. And talk about it and just have that out on the internet. The validity of it, I don't think they were that serious about that because.
Yeah. I think Bieber turned it down because it was Bakersfield, probably.
Probably. I would too. Not really. I would have taken that. But I thought it was funny to see that. I don't think we're going to see him actually get an NHL contract. There's no way. A team watched him skate at the All-Star game. We're like, we want him on our team.
Oh, I know.
The guy's
29. From a warm-up, a team warm-up, like.
Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah. Like,
hey, props to the guy that made it because I will say, that is like
got my
stellar
attention.
Clickbait.
Yeah.
Like, I had to get hundreds of thousands of views today or over the weekend or whenever it was posted.
Yeah.
Just off of something he just came up with, probably.
Yeah. And we're talking about it, so anyone that's listening is probably going to go and find that video if they can. So he did his job well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for you guys. Thank you for listening, as always. Hope you guys enjoyed all the All-Star festivities. Hope you enjoyed listening to us talk. Leave us a like, comment, anything like that. Helps us out. Make sure to follow and listen to us on whatever platform you enjoy. If you're watching on YouTube, hello. You're watching or listening, I mean, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. How you doing? You can go watch or listen on those platforms. So if you want to, I don't know, work out at the gym and you want us in your ear, going for a run or a walk, put us on Spotify, listen to us talk about hockey. And yeah, we've got some fun stuff planned for the future. So just keep your eye out and keep listening to us. Gal, you got anything to say?
Not really. All-Star game was sweet. Life's been good. Mm-hmm. Thanks for everyone following us. I know we're getting new fans basically every day. So shout out everyone for giving us an opportunity to speak to you. And hopefully next time we talk, we got some more Calgary Flames trades to discuss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for, but we'll see. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah. All right, guys. You guys have a great rest of your week. Be excited that hockey is back, not in NHL or all-star form, but a normal game. So continue watching those, and we will see you guys next week.
Yep. Leafs are still losing me money. So.
Yep. What's new?
Later, guys.